Hey everybody, it's Brad Williams and Adam Ray for the About Last Night podcast. Today's episode is brought to you by White Cloud e-cigarettes.
We're not saying you should start smoking, but if you already do, awesome. And if you've ever wanted to try an e-cigarette, these are the ones to go with. White Cloud e-cigarettes offers over 20 flavors. That's almost as many as Baskin-Robbins. 20 flavors and 6 nicotine strengths. It's cheaper than other e-cigarettes that you'll see at convenience stores and with much more variety. White Cloud e-cigarettes sponsors comedians. They've been doing it for over 2 years now. They've also sponsored comedy festivals like the Boston Comedy Festival and the Orlando Indie Comedy Festival. If you've ever been curious about trying an e-cigarette, I have. Well, the Fling is the low-cost, no-commitment way to do so. And the Fling offers same-day UPS shipping on orders before 6 p.m. Eastern.
But is there a website?
Customers can go to WCESigs.com. That's WCESigs.com.
But we want to make sure our listeners get them for cheap. So is there a coupon code?
To get 25% off of the order, use the coupon code ALNPODCAST. That's ALNPODCAST at WCESigs.com to get your White Cloud e-cigarettes today. And now, enjoy a brand new episode of the About Last Night podcast with Brad Williams and Adam Ray. Hey everybody, it's Adam Ray for the About Last Night podcast, and we have maybe it might be my favorite episode to date. I know we've had a lot of amazing guests: Paul Feig, Melissa McCarthy, Dana Carvey, Tony Danza, but today's guest is somebody I've just loved as a person and a comic. We pretty much started around the same time, and to see the amount of success he's having and the type of work ethic that I've always observed and how great of a dude he is, and I've wanted to have this podcast, this conversation for a long time. I'm talking about my buddy Gerard Carmichael. He just had an HBO special called Love at the Store premiere last October that Spike Lee directed and Funny or Die produced. Youngest dude to ever have an HBO special. You can find it on HBO, on demand, HBO Go. He filmed it at the Original Room at the world famous Comedy Store. He just finished 2 days ago. We recorded this 2 days after he shot his multicam sitcom for NBC that hopefully will get a series pickup. And the dude is a rising star, and it couldn't be happening to a better dude. I can't give away too much of this episode because it's just so wonderful. But Gerard, as you know, and you will know, excuse me, is one of the smartest dudes in comedy, and one of the most honest and generous, and everybody loves him. And you're going to love him after you listen to this, and you're also going to be inspired, and you're going to enjoy it because we have a lot of laughs and a lot of really intelligent conversation about comedy, and it was refreshing. We don't get to have that a lot. Follow Gerard on Twitter at NotoriousROD. NotoriousROD is his Twitter handle. And follow him, tweet at him how much you love this podcast. There's a lot of amazing hashtags that are that came from this episode. So get into that. Follow him on Twitter. Follow Brad on Twitter at FunnyBrad. Follow me on Twitter at AdamRayComedy. I'm well into the Adam Devine tour. It's been going incredible. Show's been awesome. Thank you so much for coming out. It's tough not to go out and party every night because these crowds are insane. And you want to have a good time. You want to ride the wave. But having to be somewhat responsible because we got early flights every morning. Let's see. Amherst, Massachusetts. We're at the Mullen Center. February 17th, February 19th, we're at the Gramercy Theater in New York City. 7 and 10 o'clock are those shows. And then on the 20th of February, we're in Upper Darby, Pennsylvania at the Tower Theater. On the 21st, we go to D.C. at the Lincoln Theater. On the 22nd, we're at the Wilbur Theater in Boston for 2 shows, 7 and 10. And then the tour continues through the Midwest and onto the West Coast. And we're having a blast. So come out and see us. Google Adam Devine Tour to get your tickets. And come out and see us. Party with us. Come on. Brad Williams, he's got some dates on his calendar. I think he's adding some more, but you can see him at his home club, the Brea Improv in Fullerton, California, March 5th through March 7th. Usually I'm out there with him featuring for those shows in a little About Last Night comedy show combo package, but I'm on the road. So Brad's got a hilarious opener. Eric Myers, a buddy of ours, who will be a future ABLN podcast guest. Go see Brad. Get your tickets at improv.com March 5th through the 7th at the Brea Improv. Go see Brad. And of course, subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. Comment on iTunes, on the iTunes page. Leave a 5-star review. And tell all your friends to listen to it. Tell them about the great episodes we've had. Tell them about Lisa Kudrow and Joey McIntyre and Ryan Sickler and Eric Griffin and Adam Devine and Paul Feig and fucking Steve Byrne, Sebastian Maniscalco, Andrew Santino. We got so many great guests in the can and so many more coming up. Subscribe on iTunes. Tell your friends about lastnightpodcast.com. And, of course, get your merchandise at estoymerchandise.com, E-S-T-O-Y, merchandise.com. Get your ABL and shirts. We've got hats coming. Support the pod. Buy your ABLN merch. That's all the merch info. Those are the Twitter handles. Those are the tour dates. And now, ladies and gentlemen, sit back, relax, and enjoy an amazing, maybe my favorite episode to date of the ABLN podcast with our good buddy, Gerard Carmichael.
Well, the weekend's over, so it's time to chat about it. Podcast during lunch, dinner, or breakfast. Brad Williams and Adam Ray are here for you any time of the day. So come on and treat yourself right. It's about last night.
Right?
Various levels of that, depending on what I did the night before.
Yeah. And then it's like, are you gonna, you know, you're gonna go to bed, like, even at midnight, you can't function on four every night. Yeah, yeah.
And, like, yeah, I can do, like, if you're doing prep,
mm-hmm.
I can get 20 minutes of sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And do one radio segment.
Oh, absolutely. I don't go to sleep before press.
Yeah, I can go on
press. I'm gonna say nonsense for a little while.
Yeah, press. The after radio nap's gonna be killer.
If I were doing press from the other end, I would go to sleep.
Yeah, you need to be rested for that.
Yeah. I would actually need to be rested.
Because that's what people are really paying attention to.
If you're on for 4 hours, then yeah, you
kind of want to be. Somewhat coherent.
Yeah, by the way, this is a class. Hey, look at you guys.
Can I make a statement?
Yeah,
you are maybe the first podcast guest in about last night history that, and I watched you there too as you picked up the headphones and you looked right for the switch and you flipped it on. You put those on. Everybody puts them on and either
that's ridiculous.
I can't hear anything, and then I'm like, there's a switch, or they have it on backwards.
Yeah.
So. Right off the bat,
thank
dude.
You very much.
You're killing it already.
Thank you very much.
We haven't even gotten into any like deep content. I mean, you're already the best guest in podcast
well,
history.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you very much. I work very hard.
I'm always amazed at your intelligence because everyone else, and we say the switch is on the right side, and it's the blind leading the blind. It's horrible.
Yeah,
it's just wrong.
You know, you got to look for your noise canceling switch. You know,
it is a sign of intelligence. Can I be honest? That is like. I was probably, if you, like, not that I, the people who sit there and they don't know how to figure out headphones, do I go, well, that guy's going to have a difficult time walking out of this apartment and proceeding with his life.
Yeah.
But I do, like, you already were an intelligent guy in my eyes, Gerard Carmichael.
Yeah.
And now, dude, you just went up notches.
That's
dude.
Insane.
Now I feel like if you told me tomorrow you were going to open, like, you know, a store that I think you shouldn't open.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, if you were like, dude, I'm going to invest, I bought a bunch of honey and I'm going to sell honey.
Yeah.
Normally I'd be like, fuck you doing, man. But after that headphone move, I'd go, dude, where can I invest?
I just flipped a switch, you guys. I appreciate that. Thank you.
You did flip a switch.
I flipped a switch both emotionally.
Well, I'm sure as you came into the room, you're like, well, there's candles, there's a trophy, there's tequila.
I'm sure other guests have commented on this, but this is very delightful. There's like tea.
It's a comfy vibe, right? That's water for
it. Is
it
hot water?
Yeah.
Is this
warm? Just regular water.
Okay, I thought
it's
it was
actually
like
hot water with no tea
in it. Tell you, the candles made me think everything was warm, you know. But
is it too warm?
No, it's great.
All right.
You haven't even seen Miko. Miko comes out in a bit and just starts massaging you as you're talking.
Don't get me. Come on.
Yeah, dude, why would you tease a man with massage?
Move in?
Jesus, dude.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I just figured you're throwing a Japanese name. It makes sense.
Miko. Speaking of Japanese.
Yes.
Gerard and I,
that's actually a...
There's a logical segue for that?
Yeah,
that's actually a very great segue.
Yeah.
Wow, okay.
I just want to get this out in the open because I feel like it's a great...
Adam Ray suppresses me every day.
Well, you know, I think we've known each other for how... I think when you started, which is how many years ago?
About seven, almost
okay.
seven.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I'm eight in, so I think we were... But I think we met at the store, probably. Maybe,
probably.
Or just around at shows.
Yeah,
right?
Around.
One of those things where you just see the person on enough shows.
Yeah.
And you have enough small talk that builds into like, I like that guy.
Yeah, this is a great guy. It's just kind of around.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
that, you know, that around that you see.
And we had enough stop and chats, as Larry David calls them. Like enough times where it wasn't just like a, what's up, man? Like, because, you know, there's people where you have, you just, your relationship is an acknowledgement. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
And it's just like, what's up, man? And there's nothing wrong with that. It's just like, both of you are acknowledging like, ain't gonna go much further than this for until it does,
right?
You know
until
what I'm
we're
saying?
Forced to, until we both walk into the same audition room. We're like, oh, now we're in the same place for more than 10 minutes.
Totally.
So now
or
we talk.
Go on the, or we do go on the road together, which is a great way for that to happen.
Yeah, yeah.
Until
yeah.
yo, I had minimal conversation with Bobby Lee until he brought me out with him, and then all of a sudden the friendship goes up notches you're isolated from.
And now it's safe to say you know what color his penis is.
Oh, I've seen his penis more than I've seen my own penis.
Yeah, well. To be fair, you don't have to go on a road with Bobby to have seen
any part
naked.
Of his body.
Yeah.
I think I saw Bobby Lee's penis. I think this should be a new segment of
the
podcast.
I think I saw Bobby Lee's penis.
Yeah, the first time you saw Bobby Lee's penis. I think I saw within 3 minutes of meeting him.
Yeah.
We were in a car together driving to a gig, and I just turned around. And he's like, what do you think about that?
Yeah, just an immediate.
It is a great icebreaker.
I haven't actually seen it. I've been around when it's been out. I've seen people's reaction. I've seen people running from it on a patio. I haven't actually seen it. But
you were like the kid who came up to like the playground fight like after it was like happening.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. I walked.
You heard
in,
all the
like,
commotion.
Oh, Bobby has. Yeah.
You're like, I gotta finish this game of double dutch. I'm killing it today. I can't abandon what's happening. But Gerard and I, the friendship went up notches when we discovered that we both go to the same dry cleaning place.
Yes.
Laundromat, I guess you would call it, right?
Yeah.
Laundromat.
Yeah. I always just say Fluff and Fold.
Fluff and Fold.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Great.
My dad introduced me to this.
Yeah.
Because I was like, God, I got to do this. And I got to do laundry. And that's taking forever. Because, you know, I had units in my place in my old apartment. But I didn't like using the units. I liked going to a place because there was something kind of cathartic about, like, taking your time and like,
and you're there for a reason. You don't get distracted because it's like, I'm focused on laundry.
Totally. When I was doing my laundry in my apartment, I was like in and out, like trying to do other shit, and like it was always.
You
I always feel like
stuff
I was doing
the machine.
It. Yeah, well, dude, if I was doing it stoned, I would like end up washing like a box of pizza. Good night, everybody. But you know what I'm saying? It just took. There was more stuff
it's
to distract
exhausting.
Me.
Doing laundry, it's really exhausting, and that's the first. If you know, I don't know if Fluff and Fold goes on the list of like luxury. Perhaps it does.
I think it does.
But it's the first thing when I could afford more than like, you know, eating hot dogs for dinner.
Yeah.
Like, Fluff and Fold was the first. That was the first expense. Michael Blaustein.
Yeah.
Comic friend of mine it was like, yeah, no, I don't do laundry. I drop it off at Fluff. And I was like, wait, what is this?
This exists?
It changed everything for me. And then it was like an episode of Seinfeld.
Changed everything for me, too.
Changed everything.
Because it's, you drop it off.
Yes.
You leave it there.
Uh-huh.
They go Fluff and Fold. They already know what you're doing.
They
know why you brought it in.
Yeah,
but they
just
give you that extra layer of comfort and confidence to know that they're not going to just like. And then you come back and it's all like shredded. And they're like, I thought you wanted me to fucking just cut your clothes up.
No.
So they give you Fluff and Fold with a question mark.
Yeah.
Or actually at this point, I'm sure the same way. They just go, hello.
Drop
it off. I go, you guys good? Good. I make some small talk.
Right.
Sometimes
stop and chat as Larry would say.
Sometimes we have a miscommunication over, this is great, where she goes, oh, yeah, sure. Come in it. Come. Stuck to it. And I go,
oh, wow.
And I stop and I go, excuse me? And she goes, come, all over. I couldn't get out. Sticky, come. I go, and I'm looking around now at this point because I'm like, all right, well, there's other people here. And now,
sure,
and like,
this is kind of embarrassing.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm like, I'm pretty sure I haven't done it in the shirt you're holding up right now because I like that shirt a lot.
Yeah.
And
I respect that shirt.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I would never, I think I made a conscious decision when I bought that shirt. I go, I told the guy when I bought it, it's a shirt I will never coming to. And he was like, what? He's like, you can just give me the money, man. We don't have to get into the particulars.
I wouldn't say that to a woman's father when asking for a hand in marriage.
So
I would make that type of commitment.
So she keeps going, come, it's cover and come. And I go, I'm leaning closer, like, could you fucking keep your voice?
Yeah.
And then I'm also like,
Now I'm like, I can't.
But at the same time,
I don't remember coming in
curious.
This shirt. Now I'm like,
you're going back.
If I'm at a point where
reliving the nights,
yeah, this is like the Hangover movie part four, where it's like, did you come in this shirt? I don't know.
That's exactly what it was.
Let's consult the tape.
That's exactly what it was. And Ken Jeong was played by Bobby Lee's penis.
That's hilarious.
And so then she holds it up, and there's still some of the gum attached to it.
Wow. Wow.
This went on, by the way, this little Abbott and Costello,
wow,
who's on first,
yeah, yeah, yeah,
went on for about 4.5 minutes.
Really?
Of me sweating, being like, oh. And she kept saying it as if I didn't understand, even though I did, but yeah, I didn't. Because I, yeah, kept looking at her like, what?
But oh, that can't be real.
But still, important question. Do you remember having gum in that shirt?
No.
This is a, well, very important question.
That
that's also,
I'm allergic to gum. No.
Well, I was going to say, that's still a problem.
It is, yeah, a problem.
Actually, a worse problem.
Because,
you know what I mean, like,
because one of it comes out pretty easily.
Yeah,
you know, forget the pun, but it does. Gum's a little more. That's a little bit of a, also forgive this pun, a sticky situation.
Yikes! Wow, this podcast. Gosh, just,
by the way,
got better.
By the way, I do not deserve to be a comedian.
No, that's the radio DJ. That's the radio
that
DJ and Brad. I told him when he came back,
yeah,
to do a couple shows while he was doing the gig.
Yeah,
I was like, he'd have some quick like morning one liners.
Just a little bit like it's. It's a part of Brad now that,
yeah,
assumes all of your listeners are stuck in traffic. There's a part of him that just assumes, yeah, that he's easing a morning.
It's slow and go on the Bay Bridge. Metering lights are on. Traffic is backed up into the maze. But once you hit the, what the fuck is the name of that street? Ah, I lost it. Anyway,
yeah. You can take the man out of Sweep Sweep.
The
can't.
Embarcadero. Once you hit the Embarcadero, it totally opens,
wow,
up. Yeah, the Embarcadero. Everyone knows about it.
Gerard, you all right? So Fluff and Fold. So that's, I mean, a
yes,
great thing. That's
what's
it was
phenomenal.
A great day when we realized we both had that in common, because I've never seen.
Did you guys like both reach for like the Mr. Snuggy Bear and like?
No, we were.
This is the moment.
Close, dude.
I showed up and Adam was there and he was leaving as I was going in, and it was what he felt when I turned on the noise cancellation is what I felt. When I saw him at Fluff
and Fold. And I don't want to say we both looked at each other and went, Fluff and Fold?
Fluff and Fold.
But I feel like...
But I think that's exactly what happened.
I think it is too, man.
Fluff and Fold? Like, you too.
You
it's
too?
So exciting.
You found this glory,
this
secret to life.
Thing, yeah. And finding the right one, which we... it's fantastic.
Yeah, and those ladies are great.
Great.
I think we talked about this too. It's like at some point I'm like... Because they're there every day. They don't take a day off. I was like, what'd you guys do for New Year's? Oh, hang on, watch TV, hang out. And then we're back here the next day. You know,
yeah,
Christmas. Oh, I think they might even have worked Christmas.
Yeah.
They don't take a day off.
They
so
never stop.
Well, at some point, yeah, Gerard said we're going to maybe buy them out or at least send them on a vacation.
Yeah, yeah, right? We should. We got to do it. They won't take it. They won't take tips.
They won't take it.
I
wow,
enjoy tipping.
Yep,
sure.
And I try and tip them, and they yell at me.
They don't take it.
They will not take it.
It's an insult.
It's an insult, yeah.
Is it almost
annoying?
Can you
imagine that type of integrity?
Yeah, it's almost annoying as a tipper. Because, like, I sometimes try to tip my Uber driver.
Yeah.
Even though tipping is included, mm-hmm, in the Uber, I don't care. Maybe
sometimes
guy...
Sometimes they're extra delightful.
Maybe a guy pulls a move. Maybe he's got, like, not just, like, those cheap, like, 5-cent mints. Maybe he's got, like, York peppermint patties in the back
seat. He splurged. He actually cared about
you.
Yeah,
and you're like, you know what? You fucking deserve another dollar, Mahmoud. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're
Abdul Raouf?
Yeah, of course. I mean, you know, after the NBA, things weren't going so well for him.
Nice.
So, of course he's being a damn Uber driver. But, yeah, sometimes I try to tip, and they just go, no. It's like, what? How could you not take money?
They won't take money. They
sometimes,
won't take money.
Because do people tip you sometimes after your shows? I've had that happen
before. Yeah, I've had so it's interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, it's very interesting. Like when
weird. People slip a five in your hand and you're like, thanks for making me laugh.
Yeah, I've gotten some pretty good tips.
Nice.
Yeah, like after, like when you're doing like a weekend and something like that. Like I was in Canada once. And
that's so nice.
Yeah,
there.
Yeah, and this is just the most that I'd ever gotten.
Edmonton, the ones in the mall.
I think so. Yeah, it was there.
Yeah, the giant. Okay, I've got a story about that club. When you're done,
did you get a tip there?
I got the nicest heckler I've ever gotten in history. He apologized right after the heckle.
Really? What's the timing of that apology?
Oh, right. It was literally like, okay, I don't even know what the heckle was because the apology just blew me away. But it was something like, "Oh, I bet you made cookies after that happened." Literally, no time passed, and he goes, "I'm sorry about that, Abe. I'm so sorry. I should not have said that. You're up there trying to do a job, and I just interrupt. I'm so sorry about that." I'm like, I can't slam you now.
Canada, it's suspiciously nice.
So people were trying to give you a lot of money.
They gave me like $500.
Oh!
And I think this was at a time when that was probably what I was making for the weekend.
Sure. Yeah. So that was a huge deal.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was huge. They like doubled my salary. It was great. It was fantastic. Yeah.
And like, you're like, we're comics. We don't expect to be tipped. But if you do, you're like,
yeah, I was really happy. It was just a great night. It was a fun night. I was on that night.
There you go.
Do you think back? So when you, do you think back to, moments like, I'm curious because you just got done taping your show, right?
Yeah.
How do you feel?
I'm happy with it.
Good.
I'm really, really happy with it. I didn't.
I think you are, because I feel like that response was critical, perfectionist Gerard, but also confused with how critical you should be because this is your first go at this.
Yeah, it's one of those things where also I haven't like taken a moment. Like, I mean, we. Like I shot it and then immediately I just got back from Atlanta, was there for the weekend, and I haven't had time to really realize
it
what it, you know, what it what the nights felt amazing. We had two tapings and the nights felt amazing. It was really,
live
really
audience.
Fun. And, yeah, live audience.
And this is Just Gerard for NBC.
Or is the
title changing?
The title, we're figuring out the title. It's okay. The working title was Go Gerard Go. It's
just Go Gerard Go. Okay.
Yeah, just at Nick Stoller's place, and he was just like, "Look, I'm going to leave this until somebody changes it." Yeah.
Can I
and
be
I was
asked?
Like, "All right, cool."
I heard that. I thought it was awesome.
Did you like it?
I did.
We'll figure it out.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, but it's it was
$50 says it does not change.
You think it won't change?
I think it's
perhaps it depends. I don't
know. I think it's Go Gerard Go.
I don't even know how I feel about it yet.
Yeah.
How about it? How about Come or Gum?
Boom. I mean, that's
with
that's
Gerard.
The Showtime. The Showtime spinoff.
Yeah, you're right.
I mean, if you spell it COME, then you could put on NBC. Yeah. You're fine.
Perhaps.
So that's a people don't realize too the process in which making a show is.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think you got right. I mean, you got
well. It depends on how many hats, I guess, you're wearing, right?
Right.
Because it's just like, you know, it's so funny because as like an actor, right, you know, it's a lot of waiting and trailers and waiting and just kind of like, you know. Hurry up and wait, you know. Yeah. But, you know, just when you're writing it and, you know, producing it. And
you were all three hats on this.
Yeah, yeah.
Which I was talking about you, talking with you on the phone about, which you really dug.
Producing is my favorite thing.
Yeah, that's right.
Really?
It's my favorite thing in the world.
Well, because there's a lot of people, and probably myself included, that when someone says there's that they're a producer, there's so many levels of that.
There are different levels. There are different versions. They're different. Yeah, it's different, and I'm figuring it out. And,
sure.
But I'm in love with it. I'm in love with the creative process. I'm in love with getting essentially ushering a vision from thought in the shower to something people pay money for is interesting.
Ushering a vision sounds like a Boys to Men song. Like that.
That's also the name. No, that's also the name of a show I'm producing.
Now, so, what kind of producer are you on your show?
On my show, because I'm actor. I mean, it's a creative producer, and I think you know I'll probably stay in that lane of like creative producer. I mean, you know, just you know. It's kind of as a producer, you know, I'm on my show, you know, I side with the star and writer of it, you know, a lot, and I try and help him out as much as I possibly can.
Yeah, you should.
I try and make sure that he's getting what he wants.
Now, when you go into producer mode, do you then switch into third person? Like, listen, I've been talking to Gerard.
I try not to leave third person. You know, Gerard tries to stay in third person as much as he possibly can.
Gerard said Strawberry Newton.
Yes. Yeah, I try and stay. Yeah, but it's just fun. It's really, really fun. Like, you know, just working on projects and stuff like
and
that.
And it is collaborative, right? The whole multicam experience is very.
It's very collaborative. It's very
that's
much.
That's why
so
people talking about family. Like,
yeah, it's
that
a symphony.
A
it's a symphony of you know of you know the actors and the writers and producers and the network and the director and I was really, really blessed to have a you know I'm sure you hear this a lot, but it really was a great team of people. It really felt
you do
great.
And you don't though, man. So I think it's like you know, like I think it is
you can. You know,
talked to plenty of guys that came and girls that came out of their show going, fucking nightmare.
Yeah, and I guess, you know what's funny? You hear that a lot into a microphone.
Sure.
Into a microphone, you hear, oh, it was the best, and this was the great. But I mean it in the most genuine sense that the people that I worked with were really great. I mean, this has been I've been working with NBC for, it's been almost 3 years.
Isn't that crazy?
It's been an insane amount of time.
Trying to get this thing going.
Yeah. Just kind of
different
this
versions,
process.
Right? They kind
of
picked
different
up.
I mean, my laptop I bought at the beginning of this process, and it is all
laptop
drafts.
Fluff and fold. This is a new guy we're looking at.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah, laptop. I'd say laptop, right? You can the era that it's like laptop.
That's a huge deal, man. Come on,
man. But it's all drafts.
Yes.
Wow. So many versions of an NBC show.
Based on their notes, yeah?
Based on theirs, on your ideas evolve. You know, it changes. And
you read things a second time or get feedback from your friends. You're just like,
yeah, exactly.
Not.
And especially, I mean, when you're over this process, over a certain amount of time, you know, when it's based on you and based on your perspective, the show has to keep up with your perspective.
Sure.
You
know, as your perspective changes, so does the show.
Yeah, and I'm still in a portion of, you know, my life and career where my perspective, you know, changes very, very rapidly. You know, like it's a rapid progression.
The fact that you're even aware of that gives me so much confidence in the show and in the writing process.
Yes.
And it really does, because you're not locked into this is what the show has to be.
Yeah. Yeah, it has to evolve, and it has to, and I have to find a place and put the character and the world in a place that it could evolve and it could grow over time, right? As opposed to just, you know, like, all right, this is what it is. And look, certain guys, if I were developing the show and I was 50, you know, and I'm like 50 years old, and it's probably a bit more. This is exactly
right.
But
this
like,
is who
you
I
know,
am. I figured this out by now.
But it's like it has to. I have to leave room. You know,
sure.
What would 2015 Gerard tell 2012 Gerard about, like, you know, you say you've evolved with and your things have changed the concept of the show or just certain ideas that.
Great question.
That's
Adam
phenomenal.
Ray.
That's a really, really
hey,
great
man,
question.
Right? Say my first podcast.
Moonlighting as James Lipton over there. Holy shit.
God. You think I lit those
Charlie
candles?
Charlie Rose's, for- yeah.
Hey, Meredith Vieira, please. That's if you're going to call me Eddie.
Excuse me.
Yeah, okay.
2015 Gerard. I would tell 2012 Gerard. You know, it's funny. One of the more honest changes that happened was like financial, right? Yeah. And being honest, and this isn't any type of like. And I made, but it was a financial change. And my stand up, kind of reflected that. I mean, when I was
sure,
you know, so I wanted the character to really just. At first, it was just like, well, you shouldn't have. When I first started writing the show, I had no money. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So it was just like,
how are you living?
Just, I mean, I was on an air mattress with I was on like an air mattress in a studio.
You were still walking everywhere. I remember
still
when I
walking.
First met you, I gave you a few rides after sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you were like, I walk everywhere. And I was like, so amazed by that. But then you were like, that's where I write too, right?
Yeah,
was,
right. And think and
I actually loved it, but I mean,
yeah, I still as much as I can try and walk around, but it's just like, and I'm not, and once again, this is not coming from a place of just like, and now I'm have multiple billions of dollars. Yeah. I just mean as far as like percentage or it was exponentially different.
Yes.
Right.
Absolutely.
Like so it reflects the character and reflects lifestyle and reflects your day to day, the
and
things that you do
what
every
you
day.
Find important
what you find important. Exactly.
Sure,
and your values and your all of that, your friendship are so much of it revolves around like this financial thing. Sure. And it has to, in order to really connect with people, it has to come from this place of truth. Cause it's not like, you know, like, so it's like, there are poor people who relate to Larry David, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, because it's just, he's being, you know, honest. He's a
he's
guy.
He's being himself.
He's being himself. So it's like, the character just like, it was finding that. Like, that was a big change. It was just like, be honest to where you are.
Did you ever have a point where you were like, I almost want to turn down these gigs so I don't make money so I can stay?
yeah. The so, and I mean, like, you know, I wouldn't say I was ever there.
Yeah.
A lot of comedians have.
I'm not a fucking idiot.
A lot of comedians have that problem, though. You ever meet a lot of comics that have, like, that choose misery?
Yeah.
You know, it's the guys that choose misery because they're terrified
of
not being funny if their life isn't miserable.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not one of I don't choose. I don't.
No.
Yeah.
Do you agree with, though, there is something about the. The whole Conan said this about Greg Giraldo on the special. I think I've quoted this before, but about what makes comics are constantly being pulled into like a black hole, and what makes us great is the fight to get out, right? And,
yeah.
But then obviously, like people like Greg, just get pulled in from outside circumstances and just things they couldn't get control of. But I mean, I think there still is a way to allow that pull to happen without
Here's the thing.
With still making some
I
money.
Genuinely think actually and I can only speak for myself, my pursuit of happiness makes me more of an outsider than pursuing misery ever could. You know what I mean? Like the pursuit of like it's like you pursue happiness and you pursue things and you pursue these goals, you'll constantly find yourself the outsider in like so many new really interesting situations. So it's like, it's like I never subscribed to it, and
in terms of relating to the relating to people, the average person isn't pursuing misery to make sure that they can stay grounded.
Yes.
The average person is trying to claw them their way out as well. So always setting your goals a little bit higher and then like, okay, now I'm going to try like hell to obtain this. That's more putting yourself in the everyday man than just being miserable.
Yeah.
And you don't want to be the guy that's walking on stage when people know that you've had an HBO special and that you're touring and that you have to deal with NBC going, ah, oh, God, sucks being broke, doesn't it? You don't want to be that guy.
You know what? It's not honest. You're lying to people.
Right.
I don't want to lie to people. You know, like, and so it's like, you want to be honest. And there's so much interest. And it's not just financial. It's in everything, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like pursuing, like, if you're pursuing a happy, healthy relationship, there are going to be so many problems and so many interesting bits en route to that. You know what I mean? Like it's so like, it's like just pursuing happiness in general. It's like
there.
Beyond finances. It's like in every sense, pursue happiness and be honest.
The honesty thing I know you're big on, and I think that's why so many people have been drawn to you, because I know, and you still do this, where you'll talk a lot in your sets, like literally of just that day. And I mean, your thoughts for that day, like you've obviously in your special, like a lot of that, you've been working on a lot of that stuff. You were just going up with a blank canvas, right?
Yeah. And the special?
Yeah.
Very honestly,
I recognize some bits, but a lot of it I hadn't seen.
There were, things that I tried on a special that there were, and it may sound absurd. There were things that I tried for the first time.
Wow.
In that special, there
knowing that you could have the option to cut it out, or just
Well, not even that. Just
feeling so good.
The first few minutes were like just me riffing.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Like, what was important to me? This special was, it wasn't just a presentation of, and these are the thoughts that I've collected.
Yeah. Right.
For me, and
talking about
going into
Love at the Store.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, HBO special.
Yeah, for me it was it was capturing a night and capturing a room and capturing just a moment. You know what I mean? Like that's where the thing, like I refused a lot of things. I refused I didn't pump up laughs. Mm-hmm. I tried out things. I kept in I was there for editing. You know what I mean? Like I was there, like and all the things that you do for spec, like I wanted it to be honest. I wanted every keep that.
Because that's how it is.
It was about true. Like this was the first. It's a part of a bigger thing. You know what I mean? Like so. It was so much about like just this raw, honest truth. That was the thing that I was. That was the purpose of the special was that. Not only that, it was also like this answer to what I believed were specials going so far in one direction. You know, that I wanted to contribute to bringing it to this very honest, very real place. I wanted to do my part in bringing it there.
Is that why you picked the store for the location?
Yeah, because it was all honest. I mean, that's the first room I've ever done stand up in.
The original room of the Comedy Store, which if you I'm sure if you're a fan of comedy, you've heard of it. I mean, it's where I mean, start the list of some of the greats.
Yeah, I mean, you start with Pryor, right? You start with Pryor, and you make your way to Keaton.
That's Michael.
That's Michael Keaton.
Is there another Keaton? Oh, Diane Keaton.
Sure. Well,
you know but I'm sure she dabbled.
Why not?
Everybody gave stand-up a shot. Pacino did it early in his career. Pacino did some stand-up.
He did very early Pacino.
I have a feeling his crowd work was very angry.
Oh. Very abrasive crowd work.
What? What? You come in here, you get a 7-Up.
You guys have
not a Jack and Coke like a man.
You guys got great Pacino.
Oh, thank you.
You guys got great Pacino.
Thank you, Gerard Carmichael.
You got great candles and great Pacino.
Hashtag great Pacino. Yeah,
why would I leave this place?
You got great candles and great Pacinos.
Candles and Pacinos.
Can I be honest?
That's for the love of God.
That is the Yelp review of this podcast.
Yeah.
That's also the title of my next album. Candles and Pacinos.
Come on, man. This place
is, man.
I would use the word equipped. You got a scanner. I'm looking at a scanner.
Got a copy of Cat in the Hat in the corner. Look at
what?
That.
Where?
Just
oh,
chilling,
come on.
Man.
Is that it? It's like, and it's on like
original, signed by the cat.
At least you didn't say signed by the hat. I would have called you insane.
Yeah, wait, really quick. Yeah, that looks like the Fresh
Prince. A Nerf football?
Oh, up there. That looks like the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air house.
There's I don't know if it's a book or a painting, but
yeah.
a lot of that stuff is my roommate's. It's not mine.
Okay.
But that. Yeah.
But doesn't it look like
it? It looks like the establishing shot
of the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
When they would cut at the beginning of an episode, right? When it would show the mansion, and the intro music was happening before we cut inside.
It looks like the Banks's, right?
Wow, dude.
It very well could be because the title of that book is called Mansions in Los Angeles.
Very interesting.
So it might be.
That may be, yeah.
That could be where DJ Jazzy Jeff set a record for most times tossed.
And you always knew when he was getting thrown out because he would come in with the outfit that they always had.
My favorite thing about that is that that somebody was like, look, we're only doing this once. They had to rent that house. They had to have the house rented.
Yep.
They had to to get that shot of him being thrown out.
Yeah.
So they were like, we're doing this once.
Yep.
Anytime you're wearing this shirt, anytime you're going to be thrown out, you have to wear this shirt
right.
so that it matches. Otherwise, it's going to look crazy.
Yeah, yeah. You can't enter in a pink shirt and then be thrown out. I still remember the shirt.
Yeah.
It was like brown and kind of checkered.
Yeah, yeah. It's this interesting shirt that actually has come back around in fashion.
You could
probably wear that shirt now.
Well,
but it's just interesting to me that nobody thought to get it in maybe, I don't know, a couple other shirts.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's just like, we're here. Let's give them some options.
Maybe they didn't have Fluff and Fold back then.
They didn't have Fluff and Fold.
What if he comes by after a big fancy outing?
Jazz can't do that.
He can't.
He can't. He has to be wearing that shirt.
If he walks in wearing a tux, he's not getting thrown out that scene.
Yeah, yeah.
Fucking amazing.
It's amazing.
So how does Spike Lee come into play in any of this? He directed Love of the Store.
Yes.
Where can people find that special, by the way, other than HBO?
Right now, I think it's just HBO.
Okay. Yeah. HBO Go.
HBO Go.
Have that app.
Yeah. And I'm trying to think. We'll figure out exactly what to do with it. I wanted it to just go exist. I wanted it to just go exist and be there and just kind of float around for a little while.
You just did one show, or did you do a couple?
I did two. Okay, I did two that night. And even that, just keeping it true to like the clubs, just 8 and 10. You know,
eight and ten, and the fact that it's your special. The OR is a very small room, and now all of a sudden you add in cameras, and yet comics were still in the back, Instagramming pictures of your special. So in terms of, all right, like if anyone ever came to me and said, yo, Gerard Carmichael does not keep it real, I'd be like, fuck you.
God bless.
Because the guy had comics in the back of the room.
Yeah.
It was special.
That was the point of it was
a
certain amount of authenticity, right? Mm-hmm. And it was just like, this is it. This is me. This is me in a room that I'm in constantly that I'm very comfortable in, and this is, you know, and this
why was
is
that
me
so important to you to have that authenticity and that like rawness that you explained? Because obviously every special is more or less in a theater and a night, and it's very well, you know, lit and produced, and it just looks very professional is the right word.
And my thing is like, you know, to me, it's more of a documentary. You know what I mean? Like, and it's it was so important because first it was my first time doing stand up on television. You know,
yeah, yeah, you never did like a Live at Gotham or a,
no, and
you never did that.
Yeah, you were offered like the Tonight Show and stuff, I've heard, right? And you just,
yeah, I mean, I've talked to a lot of people, you know, but it just, and my argument was always it lacking authenticity, right? Because it's just like, you know, look, Jerry Seinfeld, when he did the Tonight Show, he went on and he wore a suit. You know, like, and he performed. And if you saw Jerry Seinfeld at the Comedy Cellar, he had on a suit.
Yeah,
and he performed.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
He is that guy.
He's that guy.
He is that guy. It is very authentic. When you see when I saw him in Atlantic City.
Yeah.
And the same. That could have been on the Tonight Show.
Right.
You could have taken any 5 minutes and placed that on Tonight Show, and it was very authentic to him. Right. So. My complaint or my argument was always, anytime something was offered, was like, well, that's not what I want to do. It's not authentic to me.
Letterman forces you to wear a suit.
Yeah, yeah.
So you didn't want to be like, well, I don't want people's introduction to me being not who I really am.
Yeah, exactly. There was one, booker, and I won't say the show, that their response sent a set in. I was very excited to do the show, and I sent a set in, and the response was, oh, we like it. Well, could it be more set-up punchline? They wanted set-up punchline, a very specific style, and it was like, no, why would I not be myself on that show?
Just say, hey, we love that you brought in pizza for the Food Network Food Challenge called, hey, what's your best food that you do?
Yeah.
It's a working title.
Yes.
But that's,
yes.
But, and we asked you to bring in pizza, but now we're thinking, hey, would you mind whipping up like your best, like, parfait?
Yeah, could you perhaps do something completely different than what you brought us?
Right.
Yeah.
And so you just were like, sorry.
No, why would I ever
I didn't get into this to conform.
Why would I ever do that?
Yeah.
Like, why would I ever go on television not as myself? Why would I ever, that, you know.
And especially for your first set.
Yeah.
For your first introduction, like, I remember one of the first TV sets that I saw Mr. Ray do. He wore a vest. He wore a very puffy vest, and I thought, you know what? That's fucking Adam Ray.
Yeah.
I'm glad he wore that vest. That vest. When I did my very first.
And guess what? I wore it on both my stand up appearances.
Fucking A.
I didn't even plan, but you know what, man? I was comfortable.
That's who you are.
You're comfortable.
And when I did my very first Live at Gotham, I wore a shirt that had two dragons on it, because at that time, I thought dragons were
enough.
Cool.
Because one's never enough, man.
Well, because I wanted the dragons to like be looking like they were fighting on my shirt, because that's awesome.
The fucking dragons.
Nobody stops
going, look at that guy with a dragon. But they go, dude, look at that guy with those dragons.
Look at those dragons.
Plural. And you know what? Back in medieval times, the midgets were always the gestures, and the knights got to go out and fight the fucking dragons. So this was my representation of being like, you know what? Fuck you guys. I'm going to fight dragons.
On my shirt.
While I'm telling jokes, I'm multitasking.
But you were being you.
But
yeah,
exactly. That's, I mean, granted, I look at that shirt now and go, oh, Jesus. But it was honest at the time. Right.
And that's who I am. That's what was important to me. That it's honest at the time. This moment. It's capturing a moment.
It certainly was.
Go ahead,
finish that thought.
Well, no, I was just saying that's the thing that people connect with the most.
Did you feel any pressure being in a room, like we were saying, where Pryor worked out all the time, where Jay Leno, Roseanne, Letterman, Robin Williams, Andrew Dice Clay, I mean, did you feel like when you stood up there and you're like, oh, well, also, what is this? I mean, like, aren't you like the youngest to get a HBO special, right?
Yeah, probably.
I know you don't think about that stuff.
I don't think, but when I'm thinking about the ones that I know of, probably.
You're like an athlete that doesn't pay attention to stats or read the articles.
I love that about you. Go shoot the ball, man.
But you can understand the rest of us hearing those things.
Yeah, of course.
And especially people that consider themselves friends of yours to enjoy that fact, you know?
Yeah.
When I heard that, I was like, that's fucking awesome. But I know that's not something you're concerning
yourself
with.
I heard something like that. Actually, I remember getting past at the Cellar some years ago, and someone was like, you're the youngest guy ever or since something. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
And you understand why people.
But now, now Pete Davidson's, you know, that whatever that was broken.
1920, I'm sure. So you're fine. I mean, hell, we just had a guest that came in and was like, "There's this 10-year-old that's killing it." And
we're Jody Miller is she teaches these comedy. She and mentors a lot of young kids.
Oh yeah,
and she was helping this 10-year-old who apparently is killing it.
It's just destroyed.
It's just destroyed.
Yeah, it is.
And we were like, dude, it's going to get younger.
He's
like,
beating all records.
Soon she's going to, somebody's going to be like, I was talking to this fetus, and they...
this ultrasound was the funniest 5 minutes that I
It was all prop
heard.
Comedy.
Yeah, it was all prop.
Yeah, the things he
mostly
could do
heartbeats.
With the... the things he could do with
his
the umbilical cord was fucking amazing.
Had the timing of Jeff Benny. I tell you, this kid... It's heartbeat like Jack Benny's.
but being on that stage that you've and knowing, I mean, again, you probably weren't thinking about like this is where, but I'm sure you were a little bit, but in a celebratory fashion, right?
Yeah, I mean, I felt like I don't know, I didn't really think of it that way. I felt like this, it's rich in history, right? Mm-hmm. And that's why I wanted to do it at the store, you know, like, and it was like this is and in that room especially,
yeah,
and mm-hmm. it's so rich in history, and it's like. You know, that room especially, more than most any room in comedy that I've ever done, is so much about being honest and being real and being authentic. And I love that room because it's like, you know, they can smell a joke coming from a mile away.
Oh, yeah,
you know, and so
I've died terrible deaths on that stage because
you can have the best or worst sets ever in that room. And so that is what's fun. That risk is what's amazing to me.
Right. Yeah. And it's the risk that makes you so appreciative when the payoff happens.
Yeah,
and,
absolutely.
And when it goes positively, you can never take the Comedy Store for granted. You can never just walk up on that stage and be like, I got this.
Yeah. It's always you know something. You never know. You don't know where that crowd is. That room is dark. You have to really be honest up there.
Yeah,
give a piece of yourself.
How many sets? Like, oh, go ahead.
I was going to say the comic before you. Could be having a bad day bring you up in the worst way you've ever thought or not know who you are and be like, who the fuck is Brad Williams?
Eddie Griffin may cry on that stage. You know what I mean? Like, he's had emotional, he had some emotional moments. Like, people have like moments there. And then you ready for your next comic?
Right after a meltdown,
So you just saw Undercover Brother. Cry two buckets of tears.
Just cry,
like,
Are
you ready?
Yeah, and then he brought up the next guy.
Let's keep this show going. This next guy. Oh god.
How many sets did it take you to figure that out, though? To go like, oh, this is a place where I can be this a safe place for as honest as you, are,
mm-hmm.
and like strive to be in all aspects of your life and the profession, you know, and like when you felt like, oh, this is like. A place that I feel really is my favorite room, like offer something that other places don't. Because, every club's and room has got their own flavor. But obviously, something early on must have made you. I don't even know if you thought right away, like, oh, I do a special here.
The first time I ever went up on that stage, it was the open mic, and there were no audience members,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I was just performing basically for myself. There was comics in the back. I went up first on the open mic.
Wow.
The sun was shining through that window.
Jeez.
You know what I mean?
It's like 7:15 maybe.
Yeah, it's like 7:15. Maybe. No, it's 7:03.
Yeah, you're right.
Mm-hmm. I think the host kind of did some time. Oh, they don't even really do time.
Because he was doing time for anybody.
Yeah, it's like, no one. So it's like, all right, your first comic is and Jared Carr Michelle.
Jesus.
You know, you go up and it's just like one of those things where kind of immediately you know, all right, well, like that was my introduction to that room. So it's just kind of immediately like, well, you know, you got to go be honest there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you got to go be honest there.
And you don't want to be the dick where in front of literally no one you walk up and go, it's pronounced Gerard Carmichael.
No. My theory on my own name.
Yeah.
I never correct people.
Really?
I never correct people.
House MC at the Dayton Funny Bone.
Honest thing.
Yeah.
I feel as though I'm earning my own name because no one mispronounces Oprah anymore. Right? Like, you don't pronounce people know how to say Chappelle.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and it's just a thing. So I'll. my logic is that it, you know, at some point, no one will mispronounce it.
Wow!
So no, I'll just continue to admit I'm completely fine with it.
But that, but I mean, that's you're how old?
27.
20. That's yeah, that's
a profound thought.
That thought in itself, because so many guys in front of the most lame open mics that mean nothing give you a list of credits that are like...
Here's the thing. Credits mean absolutely nothing when you bring someone up on stage.
They really don't.
I get it. Maybe it's for your own personal reasons, but I don't... Why?
These are Gerard Carmichael's thoughts at 27. You know what my thoughts at 27 were? Right. I can't believe I just ran over that kid's foot dressed as Wolverine at Universal Studios Hollywood. I gotta get the fuck out of here. Oh, wait. Hey, Spider-Man, Captain America, wait up. I ran over this kid's foot.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, so that's what I did.
That's exciting, though.
It was exciting.
That's perspective. Perspective.
Sure. Did you grow up in North Carolina with, like, the way, I mean, as a kid, were you like, I got to be honest on the playground. I got to, like,
I'm not going down that slide till I've earned a spot on that slide.
Yeah. Well, I mean, listen, you grow up. I grew up in North Carolina. You grew up in, you know, certain neighborhoods, and it's not unique to a lot of, like, neighborhoods like that. You grew up in, you know, the people who are, you know, maybe selling drugs or doing whatever, and there's some great people, and there's some not-so-great people. And
you get both whatever. Spectrums, yeah?
Yeah, and you get a lot, and you get extremes, and you... a thing that I guess does apply is you have to know who you are. Otherwise, you can get caught up in horrible things if you don't know exactly who you are, what you want, and you know, like, so that part of growing up applies.
Now, did your surroundings teach you that, or like parents,
surroundings,
siblings?
Parents, you know, having parents that, you know, always challenged me and always had, you know, so. You know, knowing yourself is really, really important.
Siblings, yeah?
Sibling, yeah, older brother.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Well, that'll always check you.
I love that. That guy is one of the smartest people I've ever met.
Really?
One of the most smart and emotionally smart people.
Is he still in North Carolina?
He's in North Carolina. And
what did he do out there?
You know what's funny? He was just here a week ago for the taping.
I think I saw a picture he posted.
And I brought him everywhere. People fall in love with him. he's smart. I think he's like emotionally smarter than me. My dad, same thing, where it's just like emotionally, like, and like just one of those people who like almost like spiritually smart.
Okay.
You know what I mean? And there's a certain type of wisdom. And that, and you have to apply that.
Right.
Like, cause you know how it is. If you don't know yourself in comedy, especially like now we have, I think, the burden of opportunity now, right? Yep. Because when you read about...
Can you just start writing Snapple caps with these phrases?
No,
burden of opportunity.
It's the burden of opportunity.
You're exactly right.
But you're right.
Yeah, and when you read about Eddie Murphy doing 48 Hours, it was the only movie he was offered.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, what else was he going to do? Like, he was on Saturday Night Live. How many channels are there? There isn't a 24-hour comedy network.
Right.
But it's like there weren't a lot of options. And it's like, so now when it's just like, if you don't know yourself as a comic.
Yes.
I mean, there's...
Are you a
million? And that
are you a YouTube guy?
Are you gonna be
a Twitter comic?
Exactly.
Be funny on Instagram.
You have the burden of options,
right?
And it's, unless you know who yourself and like really own that, I mean, you'll be lost. You can be lost for years.
Sure,
you can spend years just trying to figure it out and like
going down
tweeting.
The wrong rabbit hole.
There are guys who should never tweet who are tweeting 30 times a day.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like there are guys who shouldn't be on YouTube you know what I mean? And there are guys who are phenomenal. Letter, and they should be there, and the guys who are phenomenal, like you just got to know what your strengths are.
Because they have some manager that comes in, you know what's really hot right now? Vine. Be a Viner.
Yeah.
Do Vines every day. Make a Vine every day. And it's like, well, okay, that's great, because there are a lot of people that are extremely talented on Vine, but there are some people that are just like, they can't do that.
They're guys
also let them figure it out. I think,
sure,
you know, like I started doing videos because I was doing it in high school, but also I was like, oh, this is a fun thing to do, but I didn't have yet a representation or somebody of me being like trying to set my path before I even knew what direction I wanted to go in.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it was like, I think there's like some value to like the encouragement early on of somebody being like, oh, you should do. But I think sometimes those managers who are saying somebody early on, like, do Vine, that's because that's what they think they should be doing. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
It's almost like saying to a comic, like, before you even know what their point of view is, being like, talk about your family. It's like, well, maybe the person's family isn't the funniest part about that guy.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Maybe, like, find your, you have to know it for yourself. That's how, and like, you know, and there, now, there are people who are, and, you know, I'm sure some people argue, just like, but I really think that there are certain people who are phenomenal at Twitter, phenomenal at Vine. And
trust
just,
me, I know them. Yeah.
Yeah, they
Katy Perry.
Great
she,
tweet,
she tweets, hey, 60,000 retweets.
So, yeah. So she's
and
doing something right.
I don't want that to be overlooked.
Yeah, because we have to honor that. Doesn't the Kennedy Center give out something? But you know what I mean? There are people who just failed this way in 140 characters to say the bolt, concisely say a very funny thing.
Now,
you know,
now
and that's great.
You love using words, right? I mean, you're.
Words are great. Aren't words
the best?
Fun?
That's the fucking best.
I mean,
best.
We kind of make our living using them.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, so to look at something like Twitter or Vine where it's like, yo, you can be funny. Like, I know you like to be Gerard, but you only got this amount of time. Does that turns you off?
Well, yeah, I don't tweet or really do anything in social media.
Well, you did the YouTube video for your special of you as a football coach.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
You going to, was it the
City Hall?
City Hall.
Yeah.
If you haven't seen this video, you too. I don't know what it's just, what would it be titled? Gerard?
I guess just put my name in like City Hall or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, love the store commercial.
Yeah.
Or City, yeah, Gerard Camargo City Hall. You went down there and well, just tell people. I mean, it was
we went with it. This guy Dashiell works at Funny or Die. He was very, very brilliant, and he had this idea to go down to City Hall to promote the special.
Because Funny or Die produced it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, and they I mean, they're incredible.
They're the best.
Yeah, and to go down to City Hall to promote the special because they let just citizens go and you know, speak. You have like a certain amount of time and you can speak, and it's supposed to be on topic, and you know, and you go down to City Hall and you
It's taped.
And it's taped. It's taped. Yeah,
from these cameras that look like you would watch it on C-SPAN.
Yeah, and you know what's funny? Talking about like, and this fits into knowing your truth, right? There's 2 days. We're only supposed to do 1 day. We did it 2 days because I was bad at it. The first day, I was so bad at it because...
Well, that's a brand new form.
Well, not only that, but it's like there's a muscle. I call it the Sacha Baron Cohen muscle.
Sure,
right?
Yeah.
Where of someone who can live in a joke that yes. No one else is aware of,
right,
and bring everyone to it, and I don't live in that space. I'm in a either you know what I'm doing, you know what I mean, like, or it's just in a very like kind of a more honest space, right? Like either I'm acting or you know what I'm doing, right? But it's this gray area that very few people exist very, very well in.
Yeah.
So I went the first day and I was horrible at it, right? And I was just because I was kind of trying to be on topic, and then I was
who pulled you aside and was like, "Yo, this."
No one did. People were very nice. You also, part of knowing yourself, you got to also know when something was bad.
I have it. I have it, by the way.
Okay, we'll pull it up in a minute.
Yeah. Okay.
I went back another day because I needed to just go be honest and say, no, I know I'm supposed to be speaking on Streetlights, but I want to plug my special. You know what I mean? Like, and I brought Jamar Neighbors.
So funny.
Who is one of the more fearless performers I've ever met to just
you guys came up together, right?
Yeah. First friend I made.
No kidding?
Yeah.
There's an incredibly strong bond with I think comics who start around the same time and are still and years later still both sticking with it.
Yeah.
And I mean, especially like you just said, like first friend. I mean,
yeah.
And it's, you know, because you know you when you get into stand up long enough, you and you're with somebody who's also that you started with, mm-hmm. like 7-8 years in, you there's an added level of respect because you know what you've both been through, right?
Yeah, you know exactly. You know exactly, like, the, you know, the struggles, the ups and downs and everything. And you know, Jamar was just very kind.
So he came in and he what'd he do on the video?
He came in and just was so, like, I don't even know how you describe it. Like, he was just...
He added another
so
level, dude, because it was
bold.
Yeah. And by the way, this is not a council meeting where there's, like, the representatives and then one person. There's a lot of people in here.
It's full council.
Yeah.
It's full couch. Yeah,
there's the mayor there.
Yeah,
there's
it's a bunch of people.
Fucking everybody.
Yeah.
Hold on. So, I don't know.
And there are also guys with, there were black dudes with these red Ku Klux Klan outfits on.
What? I could see one.
People thought it was fake. Everything in the video was very real.
Holy shit. Okay. Very real. I don't know how long we're going to play this, but I'm just going to play it because I didn't preview it. But fucking, here goes nothing. Here goes.
I would also like to quickly take this time out to point out that I have an HBO comedy special coming out on
this is at the city council
October
meeting.
4th.
It's got to be about the specific item. If you want to fill out a speaker card for any general item, that's for general public comment.
Once again, HBO October 4th. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
And then it says later that day.
Hello again.
So you went back.
In relation to the initiating street vacation proceedings for the alley, I do have questions of why. I would also like to take this time out to let you know that I do have a special coming out.
He's not talking about this item. Okay.
Well, no, sir, but, well, it is in relation to the alleyway. There are a lot of people in that alley that don't have HBO, and I do think that perhaps any maintenance or anything
you had,
we could do.
You had a card on 19 as well. Did you just want to wait till general public comment? You got it.
Two days later.
The next speaker.
Is this Jamar?
Guys, hey, I know you're over time. I just wanted to take a quick moment and get everyone's attention, do a couple bits I'm going to do on the special.
And can you fast forward to Jamar? Because he does is so...
Oh, man, Jamar.
So that's so... Because, I mean, were you, because this is a world that you don't live in all the time, doing like some sort of, you know, YouTube video, like were you right away on board when they were like, hey, you should do some sort of promotional...
Yeah, I mean... Because also, like, a great idea is a great idea, right? So it's like, I heard the ideas. It was idea-based. It wasn't like, we got to put something on YouTube. It was like, let's do, like, this is a great idea. This is a great space for that idea.
If somebody comes to you with a plan of attack, you're much more receptive, yeah?
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like for anybody. Because I have friends who still will be like, hey, man, like, they're just getting going with stuff, or they don't do a lot of videos. But they'll be like, hey, man, you want to be in a sketch on Saturday? And I'm like, what is it? And they go, come on, man, you in? And I'm like,
no. What's the idea?
And they'll hassle me about it. Like, dude, just yes or no.
Yeah.
And I'm like, dude, I don't know if you have me fucking blowing the guy who hangs outside of my fluff and fold place.
You know,
like,
I don't know what's going to,
I don't know what's happening. Like, I mean, give me a
time. Don't get me wrong, he's got soft eyes, but still.
He does, very soft eyes. And a little shout out to him. Stan, by the way. I'll get you that donut, I promise.
All right, so who's this guy, just for our listeners?
Jamar Neighbors.
Okay.
One of my favorite comedians in the world, close friend of mine.
All right, and this is after they've already dismissed you for like the fourth time.
They dismissed me. They're
saying,
they were
get out of here.
Me. Yeah, yeah. All right, they were over it.
All right. So Jamar,
good morning. I wanted to speak briefly about 9/11. Thank you. And then there was a more important date that came to mind, and that's October 4th. Gerard Carmichael's new HBO special will be coming out, and that shit is funny as fuck. You gotta watch that shit. October 4th. That's my boy's special. Watch it, man. Watch it.
And now he's holding up a jersey.
He's
y'all gonna watch it, right? Yeah, I see you over there, Cedillo. All right, ladies and gentlemen, good day.
Good day is how he decided to win.
And he's wearing like a T-shirt that has like a ghost on it or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh fuck! There's the guy in the Klan wigs.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot
Holy
happening
shit.
In that video. Yeah, yeah.
Oh my god! Then there. This is an actual council meeting. This was not set up.
No, it wasn't set up at all. It was a real. There were two real city council meetings, and we wasted taxpayer dollars. And
there's the guys in the Klan wigs, Adam.
Oh, that makes me uncomfortable.
I know, right?
Because I thought they were David the Gnome lookalikes at first.
No. I mean, so what?
That's a great reference,
thank
though.
Thank you. That's a constant misconception.
He had a fox that he whistled for.
Yep.
That he rolled through.
But weren't the David Norm hats? They were Klan-esque.
Yeah, they were Klan-esque.
They were big red hats. I feel like I'm really dropping the ball here as a dwarf, like not coming strong with the David the Gnome references.
Yeah, but like, let's be honest. 90s cartoons, that's my shit.
That is true.
Yeah, man.
What did Gerard Carmichael grow up on that influenced your comedic tastes?
Ooh.
Or just your interest in the business? Because, I mean, we all...
Yeah.
You know, like, you know, Brad and I both got teased as kids, and as a defense mechanism, you know, fire back with jokes or decide, hey, we're going to be the funny kids, so we're not looked at because of right.
Yeah,
how
because
people
of
the look
fat
at
kid
us.
Yeah. The short kid. Yeah, sure.
I was I watched a lot of television. I always loved, like, you know, I guess what are the classic shot? Like, I love Lucy, you know.
Golden Girls, you say Golden B. Arthur, right?
B. Arthur's, yeah. B. Arthur's one of the greatest comedic performers ever.
And
period.
And you're saying that not like I'm going to come up with a random funny reference.
No.
You're saying like, no, fuck
from
you.
From the bottom of my heart is how I'm saying that. She is, her timing, Jack Benny's timing, you mm-hmm. know what I mean? Flip Wilson's timing. Like, just these people who just have, who know, like, their rhythms so well. Yeah.
Those are all considered old school influences, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And but I love them. Like, you know, I just like, it's just whoever is great, you know. And so I kind of grew up watching. I mean, I also loved watching Sinbad.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, me I love watching.
Sure.
So it's one of those things where it's like I grew up watching a lot of television. I mean, you know, you say 90s cartoons. I mean, yeah. I love those things. I love Doug and Hey Arnold and those things. I like those, you know, these kind of
IEU. Killer tofu.
Yeah.
That's all I'm gonna say.
Yeah, the beats.
That's all I'm gonna say. The beats.
Oh, yeah, I like I love Lucy. I loved people who had very clear intentions.
Yeah. I mean,
you know what I mean? Like,
yeah. I've seen you give an interview where you talk about how you go to the Paley Center and watch Jack Parr videos.
Jack Parr had this great voice, had so much integrity, and so much, it's great. It's really, really great.
So you really consider yourself like a student of comedy, yeah?
Yeah, I mean, I love it. I try and absorb anything that's great and funny. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? Like, I mean, period. I mean, I'm also, as you know, inspired by comics that you see around.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Like, just comics you see around.
They don't necessarily have to be deep cuts. Like you could see Larry the Cable Guy and go, oh, fuck,
Larry the Cable Guy has some funny, like, he's a great stage presence. Mm-hmm. Some funny bits, you know, like, mm-hmm. they're guys, you know, I mean, we're blessed because we're in, you know, Los Angeles, or if you live in New York or whatever, and you get to see a lot of comedy.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
really,
I mean, you know, and you see really funny people. There are a mm-hmm. lot of really, really funny people. So it's just like, you know, I love, you know, I'm as inspired by, you know, Ian Edwards as I am Jack Benny. You know what I mean? Well, as I am.
And because I'm curious, because your style on stage is, you're like, I don't. Like, slow sounds like a weird word, but you're not...
Sinbad meets B. Arthur.
But like,
thank you.
But like you're not high energy. You're very methodical. You're very like, I've timed this out. It's very sort of. And what was that, like, a conscious decision? Was that just how you naturally talked?
It's
on stage?
Kind of how I speak.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, it's pretty much how I speak. Like,
yeah.
you know, my cadence now, I think, is pretty similar to, you know, me on stage.
1,000%.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
and
just,
is that something you hone from hanging out with, like, buddies and telling stories and joking and starting to... Because you do at a certain point have to be cognizant of, like, you know, what you're doing that's making people laugh.
That awareness is everything.
Yeah.
It's the reason... I mean, every comic, every person has a best friend who's the funniest guy,
1,000%.
Right? Or the funniest girl. Yep. But it's like, the difference between, you know, comics is just being aware of those things and mm-hmm. being conscious. And it's, you know, everyone can't just hone in on, like, well, oh, I know what it is about my voice. I know what it is about my eyebrows.
I know I can give a look, a pause, or something like that, which enhances the joke. Hell, Ron White figured out that if he pauses right before the punchline, takes a sip of scotch, and then delivers it just enhances it in a crazy way. It's like,
rhythm. That's my rhythm.
Yeah. Well, because I've tried to explain to people before that comedy is music, and that if you're into metal and a metal comic comes on, like, there's a pacing to it, and there's like,
absolutely,
okay, you can figure that out. And if you're into metal and then a jazz guy comes on, you kind of have to stop for a second and kind of adjust your settings
to,
and be like, oh he's jazz
to their rhythm.
Okay, so I gotta slow down a little bit.
I love jazz. I think everything great in art is jazz. That's mm-hmm. a longer conversation.
Do you like Brandon Marsalis?
I mean, he's... Winston?
Huh?
Wait, who?
Brandon.
Wait, oh.
No, that's not a real guy. That's why I just want to see your confusion.
I was like, you're talking about Winston?
It is Winston. I just
okay, I was going to...
I fucked it up, but I want to commit to it.
He just checked you.
That's really funny because I was like, I was trying to leave room. I was like, maybe there's another Marcellus who is killing it right now.
That's like saying, oh, do you know Chef Boyardee? And you're like, love him. I'm like, no, not the one you're thinking of. Yeah, the other Boyardee.
Ron Boyardee.
That sentence has never been
Bobby
said.
Bobby Boyardee.
By the way, the other Boyardee would be the name of the one act show that Bobby Boyardee put on.
He came on right after Gallagher 2.
He was actually the one who came up with Beefaroni.
Yes.
Because Chef was already the staple name. He was like, and he goes, look, and Chef goes, look, I'll give you half the money, but it's my name is what people love.
I love Bobby Boyardee's one-man show called Taste This, where he did a couple bits, a lot of topical things.
Sure.
Then he brought out a pot.
It was called Thieferoni.
Thieferoni.
All right. Well done, sir.
All right, you guys. If we ended on that,
we stayed in the pocket of Bobby Boyardee. He didn't leave.
That was like Ben Roethlisberger. The pocket's crashing around him. He's like, no, I'm staying here.
He stayed there.
I can take it. I'm good.
Your influence is definitely. I mean, your funny friend. I mean, that gets to a point too where it's like you're influenced by the stuff you're watching and your surroundings, right? I'm curious, what about? Because you mentioned just getting like both sides of the spectrum in North Carolina and having, you know, people stay on you about like knowing who you are.
Yeah.
And so do you feel like, because that's so imperative in comedy, is your point of view, which takes time to develop because that's why, I mean, what were you talking about?
And you also have to allow room for growth. You know what I mean? Like your point of view takes time to, but it's always, you as a human being, you know, you're always kind of developing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're always kind of, hopefully you're reading and taking things in and you're always kind of growing.
I say that to young comics every now and then. I go, that the few that have chosen to ask me things to advise, I go, man, who are find themselves impatient, you know?
Yeah.
I'm like, dude, enjoy the process of getting better.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like it's...
Have fun, man.
Yeah, dude. Like, you're not going to... You think your special is tomorrow? You're a year in, dude. Like, what do you want? What do you want that for right now?
Yeah.
Because guess what? I guarantee you, like, if you were supposed to have it, you would have gotten it. You'd have, you'd be coming from a meeting about it right now.
Yeah. So I've literally never, in any sense in comedy, I've never thought about time. Ever. I've never known how much time I've had,
mm-hmm.
how much material, you know, I never thought about, well, after doing it 5 years, I should be here, and after doing it 10 years, I should be, I mean, I set goals.
Sure.
And that's important, I think, you know, setting goals and, you know, writing those down and
is
stuff
it
like that.
Is it that you just know that it'll come when it's ready and all you can do is keep working on you and keep improving and
that's all you can. What else
keep,
can you,
and keep,
else,
and keep learning.
What else
and,
can you do?
Yeah. It's a great quote that I'll think about in a second. But, it's like all that stuff that you're worrying about, that's mm-hmm. not changing the outcome.
At all.
You sitting there just going, why the fuck don't I have a special?
It is affecting the outcome because it's holding you back. You
right.
know,
yeah, frustrated, angry, looking at everybody and looking at, you know, other comics and what they... I heard the silliest thing I've ever heard before.
Oh, I just got the quote and then you get back to it. It's, everything in your life turned out exactly the way it did, whether you worried about it or not.
Wow.
Now, you know who said that? Scottie Pippen.
He did.
Because he's
like, when am I going to be the number one guy? Oh, wait. I don't have to be the number one guy. I'll just hang out. Jordan will make buckets. I'll get rings. Perfect.
Yeah.
It's good. He was very content.
Be determined. That's worry and determination are two completely different things. And it's like, be determined, be focused, be driven, focus, work on yourself. Always try and get better. Always try and improve. But it's like, but also keep your eyes on your own paper.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Fuck, dude.
Who knew that your second grade teacher telling you what to do in math class was really like, okay.
Yeah.
That's a life thing.
Yeah, she didn't,
keep your eyes on your own
she
paper.
Didn't say don't cheat because it's wrong. It was like you're holding yourself back from figuring out who you are.
Yeah. People discount cliches.
Mm-hmm.
And they're time tested. And therefore, reason. You really can do anything you put your mind to.
Yeah.
How crazy is that?
It's fucking nuts.
Dude, yeah. I feel like judging yourself, you're constantly holding yourself back of figuring out who you are by not... and not being like like you mentioned the self-awareness thing. Like I was really hard on myself the other day at Rite Aid picking out a deodorant. I found an Old Spice flavor called Wolfthorn, Gerard.
Wolfthorn.
You know what? If you were to tell
aggressive.
Very aggressive. But guess what? And that's what I thought. I go, dude, there's no way I'm rubbing Wolfthorn anywhere near my body.
Yeah.
Right? And first of all, how are they even coming up with that? Like, Old Spice has got to take it down a notch at some point. But I mean, I feel like it really is just guys in a room.
Old Spice is experimenting.
You know, Skittle Titty. And like, fucking put that on. But guess what, dude? If it was called Skittle Titty, I still would have bought it. My point is, I liked how it smelled. And I gave myself a really hard time being like, you're not going to, dude, you're 32. You ain't buying a deodorant called Wolfthorn, man.
No.
But I loved how it smelled. And I go, who am I like, who am I trying to please?
Right.
And also, I learned some about myself in that day, being like, you know what? I'm fucking. You know,
I dig Wolfthorn.
Yeah. Again, it could have been called fucking Jizz Pillow. Well, I still would have.
It's so funny.
Right, because you like what you like.
Yeah.
People love rules. Mm-hmm. And it's like, but the world gives you nothing. Like, don't make rules for yourself.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you know, have standards and guys, of course, but I'm just saying, like,
standards are different than rules.
That's completely different than rules. Like, you know. You know, you got Wolfthorn, and it smells nice.
It smells great. Who's going to like? Is there ever a woman that's going to walk into your bathroom and be like, "Oh my god, I can't wait to sleep with Adam Ray tonight," and then like look up and see Wolfthorn and go, "Was going to sleep with him."
Guess what? If that woman's out there, guess what? Stay away from it.
Yeah.
Don't judge me by my Wolfthorn.
Yeah. And according to the Wolfthorn commercial, it's actually going to attract a lot.
Exactly. Why not? Yeah.
I love that, dude. I don't know how you got so smart.
Nuts.
I mean,
and I'll say this about you because I had known, because I was like doing the road hard when you were coming up through the store.
Yeah.
And like, I honestly didn't know who you were. Mm-hmm. And then, but I kept hearing this name. I kept hearing Gerard Carmichael. No. Gerard Carmichael. And the same thing happened with, Hannibal Buress, where I just kept hearing this name.
Yeah.
I'm like, who the fuck is this guy that these people keep talking about? And then I was at the parlor in Jay Davis' show, which is a rough room here in L.A.
Yeah.
And then you're going on stage. I'm like, all right, I'm finally going to get to see Gerard Carmichael. And that's a tough room. And you fucking owned that room.
Oh, thank you.
There was nothing but the comic before you ate shit. There's nothing but models and porn stars.
And tell people why that comic ate shit and why that's a possibility, because that room is what?
It's a sports bar. It's a sports bar. There's TVs everywhere.
Yeah.
There's models everywhere and porn. And guys aren't looking at the comics. They're looking at their date's titties, which are right next to them.
And it's,
like,
it's a big hangout, too. And,
I'm
curious, like, is a room to you, or do you see a room like that and you're like, all right, there's too many distractions that are going to take away?
Yeah, I mean, you know, a room is a room to me. Like, I really do. I mean, there are certain things that are just a bit unreasonable. You know what I mean? Like, there are certain things where it's just like, come on, man. Like, you know, like, this, it's still a performance.
Yeah, have the margarita machine going on right next to the stage.
And really to credit Jay Davis, who runs that room, I mean, he's great.
Meticulous about it.
He's
conducive for comedy.
Yeah, he turns these, you know, impossible situations to these great fun. And I personally, like, I love that room. Like, I think Parlor is so fun. I mean, especially if it is a challenge, that's kind of why, that may be part of why I'm attracted to it. I love those things. But.
And one thing I loved about your set is that you didn't change who you were.
No, you commanded.
You talk about authenticity. You didn't go on there and see all the TVs and the people talking, going, okay, now I'm going to be loud. I'm going to come up here and be Kinnison tonight, even though I'm not. You went up there and you did you, and the crowd got quiet.
They came to you.
They started paying attention and started getting your rhythm.
Well, any set
I really enjoyed watching that process.
Thank you very much. Any set where you're not being yourself is a wasted set. You just wasted time. You know what I mean? It was just like, all right, well, where else do you need that guy?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's like, I just went up.
Who do I do that for?
Yeah. If you're
not going to do that ever again.
You're not going to do that again. So you just wasted time.
Unless you're just like, all right, I'm glad to know I've got that guy ready. If I ever want to bail on myself,
if I ever
want to
give up on me, then I will then be that human being or that made up character or whatever. Yeah. But no, thank you. I really appreciate that. It's, it's fun. It's fun doing like the rooms that are a little tougher in
there. A little dicey. Because then you have a great set there, and then you know, oh, I'm good in any situation.
Yeah.
Whatever happens, I know that I can do it because you've done, you've conquered that demon. So you're like, oh, that's fucking Everest.
Yeah.
Whatever anthill I come across now is just fine.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I mean. That's part of what you feel about like the OR. Like, Brett Ernst would always do the OR is the hardest room in the country. If you do this room, you could do any room. Mm-hmm. And you know, and that's kind of true. It's like there's a lot of truth in it. Like, you know, I mean, you know, hardest or not, whatever it can be a very difficult room.
Sure.
As you said, like
I've seen monsters.
You can
die.
Have the best and worst set, you right. know, and it's just like, so, you know, it, you know, I love those situations,
yeah.
those things that really, you know, test you as a comic.
Now, that being said, will you shoot your next special at the Fluffenfold? And I say that.
Maybe.
Can I be honest? When it came out of my mouth, I go, all right, this is obviously a jokey question.
Uh-huh.
But guess what? As it finished coming out of my mouth.
Yeah.
I go,
someone isolate that audio, please. Someone isolate
that's
that
hilarious.
Audio.
Will you at the Fluffin'
As it finished coming out of my mouth, can we just have Adam Raven on repeat?
I'm trying to clean up this podcast.
I'm 2015, sorry, man.
I go.
He's cleaning it up.
But
he's the Joe Clark of his own podcast right now. He's coming to restore order.
That's the radio DJ in him. Let's get that sound bite.
Yeah. Hey, let's get some wacky audio. Maybe we can have a come on right after that. That'd be fantastic.
But would you
traffic coming up in 5 minutes.
would you do your special in traffic? Is there a location that, like, because not to say you went against the grain by doing it at the store, but like you did it your way. So I'm curious if something like you said, it was a good idea and it got proposed to you and you were like, oh shit, yeah. Obviously, you're not going to do, like, our buddy Harlan Williams did, I don't know if you saw the special he did in the desert for nobody.
Yeah, I heard about, I heard about that.
Should check
it out. I haven't
seen
it, but yeah, it's, I mean,
it's a trip.
That's so, like, the store came about, once again, like, just trying to be as honest as possible. I mean, to his credit, my friend who produced it, Andrew Thimulus, you know, like, really spent a lot of time crafting, like, the aesthetic of it and making sure that the vision, you know, really came through. You know, I mean, it has to just be honest, you know, like, I mean, I don't know, like, would I choose, I choose places that I, you know, I chose a place that I performed at, and, and you know, if I feel really, really funny, if I'm on in that Fluffin' Fold, I don't know, man, you know, there's some days I go in, and I'm just kind of on, you know, and if I'm on there, then maybe, you know, you want
to
give.
Usually you drop those clothes off me, like, I can't wait to get those back, because that's why I'm here, is for you to hurry up so I can get that shit I love back.
Yeah.
But sometimes you walk in, you're like, you know what? That, my favorite shirts are in there, but I'm feeling so good. I'm wearing my second and third favorite shirts right now.
Yeah. I'll pick this up tomorrow.
Tomorrow. Yeah.
Yeah. It's, I, you know, maybe. But, I mean, you know, it just kind of, it's how I'm feeling.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's just like, how are you feeling right now? What is the, what's going to get out the best you or the most authentic, or, you know, version of you?
Well, Gerard, you are absolutely wise beyond your years, my friend.
No,
and anyone that's listening to this podcast now can truly see why you're having the success you're having. Because seriously, like, you're focused, you're driven, and you're very self-aware, and that's so rare to find in this business of people that know who they are and know what their voice is.
And stick to it.
Exactly. Yeah. And
I know you know that, man. I know.
And don't try to change for other people.
And you're, as you know, you're getting deeper in and more opportunities coming your way. You're getting to see, like, how possible it probably is to, like, just, you know, to get a little bit closer to something, or make something easier, or, like, take a jump to, or have something else possible by changing, you know, what the way you want to do it. And thank God you've got the, you know, privilege by being actor, producer, writer, to make more calls than probably most do that get on cast on TV shows.
Yeah.
But I don't know, man. It's we can all learn from the proactive attitude of hey, man, it's your career, it's your name. Like, so,
yeah,
so it do
is
it the way
your,
you want to do
it. It's like, it is yours. It's your, you know what I mean? And it's so fun, and it's so many different versions of it, and so many, you know, creative, fun ways to get out your own voice. And it's just like, you know, do that. I mean, you know, it's funny, and it's not even from a place of arrogance, but it's just like knowing that the industry, and this is for all, like, especially comics, like, it's like you make up the industry as much as this, you know, made up industry, you know, in your head of just like who they are
agents
and the
and
they
and
the, yeah,
and
it's like you, it's you. You are the factor
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, you are the, like, you're those the
guys
factor,
have,
so.
Those guys have nothing to sell if you're not
yeah.
there.
Yeah. So give them a very authentic version of, you know, yourself, you know?
That's,
I don't know.
That's great. The special is Love at the Store on HBO or HBO Go. The show, Go Gerard Go.
Perhaps Go Gerard Go, perhaps, you know, there's a couple other names that I'm playing around with, but, mm-hmm. you know.
That's fun, too. Coming up with the name of your TV show. I can only imagine what I'd like. But, I've got two for me. It'd be What's Up? Just What's Up, right?
What's Up?
And
is
also,
cool. What's Up? Yeah.
Adam's Party Town. All right, can I be honest?
I'm not going to not watch that. I'm not going to not watch Adam's Party Town.
I got to know what that's about.
With that said, also, it was a pilot. And just in case this podcast is just sure, like, hey, what happened to that show? I mean,
right.
I hear television's a fickle industry.
It's
what I hear.
But, dude, you got to a place to where they gave you a chance, and
it's fun. I had a lot of fun shooting the pilot. I'm very excited about, you know, even just the possibility of going forward.
Yeah, one of my heroes, David Alan Greer.
David Alan Greer.
I mean, come on, man.
David Alan Greer.
You had Dag on.
Can you give us just one great David Alan Greer exchange or?
He's just so.
That's
good.
Really, and I'm not even just saying this. It's one of those things where it's like so many moments of just laughing.
Yeah.
That I mean, he makes everything funnier, better, stronger. He's an actor. I mean, this is a Yale, drama.
He did
theater,
a Tony Award-winning dramatic actor that people don't realize unless they saw his show on Broadway. But it was fucking amazing.
He's a phenomenal actor.
Yes.
I have Loretta Devine, who is a phenomenal actress.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you know, Amber Stevens and Laurel and these, you know, this cast is just
Oh, you have
great.
Laurel. I Laurel fucking
so
love
funny.
That.
Yeah.
I
Amber's,
love that.
And Amber's
have.
Just this personality you just want to be around. And
yeah.
It's, like I said, these great people. And mm-hmm. I mean, look, I look forward to working with them more. I'm very excited.
Sure.
And but it's great, you know. It was really fun. It's a fun thing to be in, you know.
So yeah, catch the special. Yeah. Hopefully catch the show late on NBC. Catch you on the road. Catch you on a flight, which I've done a couple of times.
We had some great, you know.
Yeah, there was one flight we were on where it was like me, you, Steve Byrne, and Bobby Slayton, like on the
where
same
flight. Where
are
we coming from, by the way?
I don't know where I was, but I think it was Dallas. Like the Dallas to LA flight.
Yeah, yeah.
And then we were all just sitting here going, wow, we could just take over the microphone and do one hell of a show for
that'd
these people
fun.
Right now.
That'd be fun. That's actually where we could do the next special.
Can you imagine?
Gerard Carmichael at 35,000 feet.
Yeah, yeah. Just
wow.
Just all into that little radio thing.
You know, like it. Like,
kind of distorted. Yeah.
So I was walking down the street the other day, and I thought to myself,
you should... Without being considered hack, be allowed to do an airplane food joke. If you
open
are
open and close,
open and close on airplane.
If you're
doing,
on a fucking
if you're
plane.
On a plane,
there you go.
That shouldn't be. But there'll still be comics just like
and
hack.
You're allowed. It's like really, he's joining the Mile High Club of stand up.
Yeah.
And you're gonna sit back and be like, airline
that's still
food.
I mean, come on, yeah.
You gave me a great idea for another location special. Bagging groceries, doing your special to people that are just coming through as you're bagging their groceries.
Just a casual conversation.
Adam Ray, paper, plastic.
Hey.
And guess what? My
I'll
first job,
yeah.
bagging groceries.
Really?
So that'd be authentic to
it's
you.
It's very authentic.
Wait.
Very authentic.
Does that mean I have to do my next special when I'm at the register of a Hot Topic?
God. Hey, I don't see why you wouldn't.
That's the only time I'll step in and shoot his dreams.
You're all right. It's a very strong no.
It's called One Dragon or Two.
That's perfect.
Gerard, you're the man.
Thank you.
Thanks
you guys are
on.
Incredible. Thank you.
This was a blast.
I really appreciate you
Did
guys.
Did you have
having,
a good time?
I have an amazing time. The candles. Once again. Do I have to
What
go
did you say
stuff?
Was you loved our candles and Pacinos.
Yeah, candles, Pacino, and a printer. There's a printer, there's a scanner.
Thanks, Gerard.
Thank you guys.
So that's the show.
Night Podcast with Brad Williams and Adam Ray. Boy, they're a lot of fun, huh? Why don't you subscribe on iTunes to this fucking podcast? Give them a 5-star rating so this midget and this Jew can feel good about themselves for a couple minutes. Also, get on your iPhone or Android and get the podcast app. You can also listen to it on Stitcher or aboutlastnightpodcast.com, where you can hear past episodes with great guests like Lisa Kudrow, Paul Feig, Kevin Nealon, Bob Saget, Dion Cole, Chris D'Elia, Adam Devine, Michael McDonald, Jaleel White, Bud Friedman, Steve-O, Harlan Williams, Tom Arnold, Ron Funches, Rick Glassman, Blake Anderson, Anders Holm, Jessamay Peluso, Joey McIntyre, and many, many more. I'm Tony Danza. Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast. Good night. That's it, right? You got it? Sweet. Boy, it smells good in that booth, by the way. What kind of candle is that? Hanukkah Willow? Nice.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years, one of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.